you've tubbed up rice.
I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons. And
she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it up the Khyber Pass.
Liberace!
Can you Adam and Eve it with Rob Bollocks?
Stunning time of the day for a bit of this. I'll tell you what, last week, Rob, you really opened the
floodgates.
You really opened the Ark of the Covenant, and all sorts of things flew out. And really, you blew your own brains. You blew other people. You collectively, you really threw some people into a funk. Yeah. And I offer you the opportunity to once more do that for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Bollocks.
Thank you very much. Just very quickly, we found out why the Sky Tower was gold. A listener texted in, it's supposed to be a candle. It's candle representing, like, for the Christchurch thing. So good for the
I'd like to see
tower.
A big, massive, actual big,
yeah,
massive
it would have been really
candle.
Good. Would have been really
apart
good.
Apart from, yes, it can blow out if it was a real one.
Right. Now, I always enjoy getting emails from you because you're the only person that ever emails me.
I think you're the only person that emails as well. I hate emails.
But it was like, oh go
but,
on.
But when something comes into the orbit and it requires the immediate attention, I send it to the appropriate desk. And
yes,
I sent this one I sent to promptly to the
brilliant.
Can you add my name at desk.
Well, okay, we get right into it, right? On December the 18th, 2018, a large meteor...
So let's just get that. December the 18th,
2018.
So just prior to Christmas.
Just before Christmas. A large meteor streaked across the sky over the Bering Sea before exploding with 10 times the strength of the atom bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. 10 times
the strength. So the week before Christmas...
Yep.
The Bering Sea. Now, where's the Bering Sea?
Up by Russia, Canada.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I've seen a few programs where like Bering Sea, where they do gold, when they dredge up all the completely destroy
rough, rugged,
everything.
Rugged folks.
Yeah, very rugged.
So
folks.
The Bering Sea, and so this is this Christmas just
this
been.
This Christmas just gone.
And a meteor.
Yeah.
Some flotsam and jetsam from outside of our own planet, this beautiful little rock of ours.
Despite having an estimated diameter of 10 metres, the meteor entered our atmosphere unnoticed by astronomers at an estimated speed of 32 k's per second.
Okay, so 32 kilometres, how wide, how big?
10 metres across
diameter. 10 metres. So that's, you could run 10 metres in 2 seconds.
Oh,
3 seconds.
I know, I might have to have a break halfway.
5 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 seconds. Anyone could amble 10 metres in five seconds.
Yeah.
So that's not very big, but it exploded over the Bering Sea with an explosion that was comparative to what?
Well, they said it had the energy of 173 kilotons of TNT.
173 kilotons.
I don't know what a kiloton
1,000
is.
1,000 tons.
Yeah. Off the coast of Kamchatka in Russia. Now, do you know what? When I was reading this morning on the train... But I thought, why do they explode? Is it because they get really hot when they get into our atmosphere?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
Why do they explode? If someone could... I'm sure they're going to get a call in a minute. But why do they explode? Anyway...
I guess it just comes. So it exploded over the sea.
Well, it was 300 k's off the coast of Russia. So Russia and Canada,
Russia. They hold quite a bit of space.
So it's an unusual event, said Peter Brown, a meteor expert.
Who?
Peter Brown.
Yes.
a meteor expert and professor of physics and astronomy at Western University. The explosion was initially detected by the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, or the CTBTO, shortly after it occurred. The organization, they look for signs of potential nuclear missile activity, which must be a really good job.
What about now?
No. You don't want to go out the loo just in case you miss it. But anyway, it does this with the help of monitoring stations around the world that measure infrasound, which is acoustic waves with low frequencies. This is where my mind starts.
So they've always got an ear out for it in case to go, hey, Kim Jong, hey!
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, little Kim, come on.
Because it wasn't a nuclear concern, the group simply catalogued it and moved on. Probably, just write that down and go and have a cup of tea now. So they moved on. But the blast went unnoticed by astronomers who track meteors. meteors. It wasn't till 3 months later that Brown learned about the explosion while looking at the CTBTO's data. He must be really boring. I know.
So how long afterwards?
3 months after it had happened.
That mess of 173,000 kilotons of TNT.
I mean, obviously, if it happened anywhere else.
What did you do yesterday? Oh, well, how's the Christmas shopping going?
Yeah.
Well, look, someone said that they spoke about this on Dear Science last Wednesday. Well, maybe they spoke about the event, but they haven't discussed it the way we're going to discuss it.
No, without my spin on it. At the same time, NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab added the explosion to its online Fireball database.
Online Fireball database.
Yeah. It received even more attention a couple of weeks ago at the Lunar and Planetary Space Conference in Houston. I was actually gutted because I jacked up to go to that, but I had something else on.
I was going to give some money for that too, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
If there had been anyone in the vicinity of the meteor, they would have heard a massive explosion similar to the meteor that exploded over the skies of Chelyabinsk in Russia in 2013.
You've seen the footage of that, eh? That's when it just goes... But, just windows going, but things blowing.
Yeah, there was 7,000 buildings damaged, collapsed factory roof and shattered windows, and over 1,000 people got non-direct injuries from the air blast.
That's what happened in Chelyabinsk.
Yeah, yeah.
1,000 people?
1,000 people.
That's a good solid amount. It's a good ACC call.
But that one, the speed of that was 19 k's a second, which was slower than the Chamanka one. So Peter Brown's a little bit, he's got reservations about the speed of that.
My suspicion, it was a bit laggy, wasn't it?
Yeah, my suspicion is that the velocity is too high. Was too high, right. This is the thing when I had a poof moment, that's me doing my head exploding. As Earth moves through space, it is constantly bombarded with rocky objects left over from the formation of our solar system. I don't know why that just did my head in. We see small grains of dust burn up in our atmosphere as meteors streak across the sky, but larger ones can enter the atmosphere without burning up completely, with pieces raining down on the ground, and we call those meteorites. Now, I didn't know that.
So?
When they break up and go into little pieces, they're called meteorites.
Oh, okay.
Large ones that are about 10 metres in diameter hit us about every decade or so. Brilliant. There are asteroids and comets that cross Earth's orbit referred to as potentially hazardous objects, but astronomers around the world are keeping an eye out for them. Which is good, thank you.
Is that on the Fireball database?
NASA is constantly monitoring the sky for near-Earth objects. Experts estimate roughly 90% of objects in our solar system that are 1 kilometre wide or larger have been found. Approximately 2,000 near-Earth objects are discovered every year.
I was watching this amazing documentary, which everyone here was having issues with because Will Smith fronts it on Netflix, called One Strange Rock.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And they were talking about how when you're in space, because you don't have the protection of the atmosphere, you get, even when your eyes are closed, you get these little light shows, which is radiation just going tiny little bits of radiation to come, and not necessarily from the sun, from any old, just
that
the end.
That's just been brilliant.
Like your flotsam and jetsam coming, just
but that's the same
raining
thing
down upon ye.
With that Will Smith, that's the same Dan Aykroyd does one on UFOs.
Dan Aykroyd used to pretend to be an alien with the cone head.
So,
and I mean,
they should be able to do stuff like that.
I thought quite convincing
though,
for a while.
Yeah. Did you really? That's it. I'll let you carry on with your crumpets now.
Are you worried? Do you have fears of the meteor? The meteor's probably it's a good chance the meteor will be the one that gets us. You'd like to think that there would be some sort of just at least 10 minutes to sort of gather your thoughts. You go, meteor. Hey, everyone, it turned out it was a meteor. Or meteorites. I mean, Tessa, you'd appreciate that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess
not
so.
Not some sort of early warning system, but just some, I mean, just sort of go, look at this. Guess what? It's a meteor. Everyone going, people will be paying off bets and things like that, eh?
Yeah, that's part of the fun of it, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what are you putting money on for the apocalypse?
What am I putting money on?
Yeah.
Like how much am I
putting? Here's $100. The way that the TAB does that thing where they go, do you know the TAB, they pay you to like, if it's depending on what time of the year it is, they'll give you like, they'll say, hey, spend $20 and we'll give you $15.
Wait, what?
They do so all sorts of sweeten the deal deals.
So wait, what the original question was, what would I pay to
bet on the apocalypse? So here's $100 to bet how it's all going to go.
That's a waste of your $100. You're better off go to Countdown and spend it.
To be honest,
winning it's
going to
be a waste anyway.
Wanting a storyboard of how I think it's going to go for the $100?
Yes.
I can't. That's on the spot.
What are we thinking? Are you thinking diseases?
No, I'm not
perhaps,
thinking
perhaps
diseases.
Perhaps maybe meteor. Perhaps maybe.
Have you seen Children of Men?
Yes. I see. You think some sort of lack of fertility. Blessed be the fruit.
Look, I'm not.
Global warming.
Handmaid's Tale. Sort of
global warming for me would do it.
Global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could do.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll take
$100 for that.
All right. Okay.
I'll bring it in next week.
Sounds good.
Feel free to send in your thoughts there, listeners too, on 5395. Always appreciate it.
I know this is spooky.
It's called the 5 P's. Prior planning prevents poor performance. Yeah. In this case,
have you got somewhere safe? Do you have a supply of food and fresh water?
Have you got the fresh water and the tins and the torch?
Yep.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got my own bunker.
You got a bunker.
Have you got all
prepper.
The cash underneath your mattress?
All the cash. Yep. That'd be very worthwhile. It'd be a cash economy. Excuse me. This says $12. Can I give you 12? No. I imagine the barter system, or perhaps maybe your trade arms. Like, and when I say arms, I mean like limbs. People will want those in the future.
What?
I don't think what people want in the future. They don't want to. I mean, they don't want to.
No one wants your limb.
It'll be food.
I've got a great looking nose.
Nothing to do with what the limb looks like. But what do you think someone's going to do with an extra limb?
Well, more they're going to do with $12.
In the apocalypse.
There's not going to be somewhere to change your money or bank your money or no money machines going.
Barter system would be a barter system.
Yeah. Not as good as a wink sort of thing.
What craft do you have to offer? You guys?
Wit.
Freedom calls.
I have my wit.
He's got wit and I've got freedom calls.
What about yourself?
I can also do this. I can also play the Lone Ranger theme on my head. Listen.
Your face is going red.
Brilliant.
But I can do it. And it might save my life one day.
I don't know how good that is for your brain.
Well, the proof is in the pudding because he just done it.
How did you figure that out?
I don't know.
He tried with the 18-12 overture.
When you're a little boy and you're just hitting things and banging into things and going...
Someone says a cheese apocalypse. Can you go into more detail, Texter?
A cheese apocalypse?
I don't know what that means.
It sounds to me like they're underlying fear of...
Cheese. Lactose. Fair enough.
Prepared dairy products.
Fair enough.
Somehow.
Rightly so.
Are lactose intolerant.
Like a water and food. As long as you got that, we could start again.
What about if all you had was cheese? Would you be happy with that?
It's not going to be that easy, is it? As long as you've got that.
Got a supermarket. Oh, nice.
No, supermarket's going to be closed. It'll probably be closed.
Where are you going to get your fresh water from, Rob?
Down the tap.
Down the tap.
You are not prepared for this apocalypse, are you?
You know, I think it sounds like we'll be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got any queries about the apocalypse or survival, give us a call. 309-3879 or 0800-PREPPER. We'd love to help you out. We'd love to. Absolutely love to help you out. Here's Johnny Boy.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullocks?
She's undone her sea monster chain.
Thank you very much, my son.